thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
I'm not really often giving titles for my sermons because I never really think about a title. I often say that. But when Clive asked me tonight, I had a title. Here it is, Me and My Big Mouth. I've had cause to say that a few times in my life, let me tell you. Me and My Big Mouth. This evening, I want us to turn to a passage of Scripture. I don't think it will be overly familiar to many of you. I'm sure you've read it. I'd be surprised if any of you have heard it preached on before. I certainly haven't, but I've been really prompted by the Spirit to speak in these verses this evening. So if you turn to Proverbs chapter 6, I'm going to read the first five verses. It is a kind of an unusual passage, I think, for a Sunday evening sermon. But you know that kind of a way when you just feel that God has put something on your heart and you can't get away from it. Well, that's what I feel about this. So I'm very confident that he's going to speak to us. My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you have struck hands and pledged for another, and here's the key verse, if you have been trapped by what you have said, ensnared by the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, to free yourself, since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands. Go and humble yourself. Press your plea with your neighbor. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. Read that passage a couple of weeks ago on a morning before the boys went out to school, and I was immediately struck by verses 2 and 3. If you have been trapped by what you have said, ensnared by the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, to free yourself. Trapped and ensnared by the words of our mouths. How many of us have experienced this in our lives? We've opened our mouth before we put our brain in gear. We've just opened our mouth. We've said something and then we've regretted it. Our words have got us into trouble, but we didn't quite know, or we don't quite know how to put the thing right, because once you've opened your mouth and said it, you can't take it back. These verses, as I said, they kept coming to me. And I felt that God wanted to say something to us all, but maybe specifically to some people here this evening through them. Because in the course of our lives, we probably all know what it's like to be trapped and ensnared by the words that come out of our own mouths. Maybe you have got yourself into some kind of a commitment that you regret, but it's difficult to get out of it. Maybe you have spoken out of turn and your words have caused offense or they've caused hurt, and it has led to some kind of a snare for you. As I've read and read and read over these verses, I could see so many different applications of the truths that are present here. And I trust this evening that your heart will be open to hear what God's saying. From the reading, you can see that the immediate context of these verses in Proverbs is somebody who has rashly offered to act as a guarantor for a neighbor, or shook hands too quickly, made a financial promise on behalf of somebody else without thinking through the possible consequences. Then, in the cold light of day, reality kicks in. The person realizes they've made a huge mistake, because that rash promise could put them at financial risk within their own family. They are in a situation and they've got no control over the outcome. legally responsible for any debt. In the book of Proverbs, that is always regarded as foolishness. Standing guarantor for somebody, a friend or a neighbour, and not assessing the risk. You might think, well, I would never be so foolish as to stand guarantor or underwriter for somebody else's loans, especially not a neighbour who came knocking on the door. But I want us to think about this from a broader perspective. Many of us have from time to time committed ourselves to responsibilities that are not ours. Possibly financial, possibly in terms of our time, possibly at our work. And it has meant that we are overstretched. We consequently don't have the time or the resources left to meet our own responsibilities. Maybe some of you have been in a position within your family. And I do feel, it's not that I have any insider knowledge, but I do feel this is very possibly a situation somebody's in at the moment. Maybe a position within your family or with a friend where you have felt pressured, even emotionally manipulated, to give or lend somebody money, possibly to act as guarantor, and you couldn't really afford it. You know that you'll probably never get that money back. Maybe at work, you have rashly taken on tasks that are not your remit because a colleague was struggling, or maybe somebody is just lazy, but your own health and your own work is suffering. Maybe you've got sucked into giving your time or your money to a cause because of an impulsive decision, an emotional response, or to try and please people because it was a very worthy cause, but it is beginning to impact your life negatively. You know, this can be true even in church life, where so much time can be given to ministry opportunities and maybe not enough time to the family that God has given you. We need to be just here, and we always hear about ministries and causes that are worthy, and we feel obligated or pressurized to give to everything. Now, this is not a sermon to tell people off, absolutely not, but it's help from God's word to each one of us about what to do if we become trapped by what we've said, by the words of our mouths, if we've allowed ourselves to get into situations that are having or could become negative in our lives. Nobody's denying it's good to be kind. It's good to be generous. It's good to be helpful to the people around us. There are probably seasons in all of our lives when we do have to step up, take extra responsibilities for a while during a crisis situation, at home, at work, in church, or wherever. But we're not talking about that. We're talking here about getting ourselves into something that's a trap for us. Now, we all know there are multitudes of worthy causes in this world. Even in Christian missions, there are various needs that arise all the time. But none of us, and I want you to hear me, folks, none of us can give to every single worthy cause, Christian or not. And unless you're going to be broke or spend your life on a guilt trip, you need to make a conscious and a prayerful decision about what you'll give to, and then be free to say no to everything else. I don't know whether you remember the story from 2015 of Mrs. Olive Cook. She was 92 years of age and she committed suicide at 92. She was generous to a fault. She believed absolutely in charitable giving. She was one of Britain's best known and most prolific poppy seller. She gave regularly to charities. In fact, at the time of her death, she was giving by direct debit every month to 28 charities. And on top of that, she was given regularly to another 20 charities. That's 48 regular outgoings. She received, on average, 3,000 letters and phone calls every year, demanding and manipulating her into giving money which she no longer had. She was left penniless and distraught because of the pressure, and ultimately took her own life. It's an extreme example, but it serves as a warning to us all. We don't have to give to every need or every charity, Christian or otherwise. God has given all of us financial resources, and he blesses a joyful giver, but we must never allow ourselves to become emotionally manipulated or pressured into giving. Pray about what you should support. Pray about what you should give to. Give joyfully, give willingly, and just say no to the other demands that come with no guilt. But the use here in Proverbs of trap and snare, it suggests that the problems associated with the promise the person made, they weren't immediately obvious. I mean, otherwise the person wouldn't have made the promise to be guarantor. A trap or a snare is always hidden. The animal comes on it unawares, suddenly caught. Most people will not walk into a financial trap knowingly or with their eyes wide open. It's something they walk into, it and then it becomes obvious it's a trap. Rashness in what we promise is what Solomon is advising here. Know what you're getting into. Know what you're signing up for. Know what your promise does and could mean for you in the future before you commit yourself. But these verses, I think, have a broader implication as well that's applicable to us all. It is possible for any of us, maybe some of us more possible than others, if you're a bit like my kind of a nature, to maybe make a promise and not be in a position to honour it. Maybe to say something out of turn, maybe about somebody, and it comes back to haunt you, particularly if it causes hurt or offence. Have you ever done that? Have you just opened your mouth and said something? I mean, the minute you say it, you're probably like, I shouldn't have said that, but you've said it and it's out there. What are we to do in that situation? Once the word's out, it can't be taken back. You can maybe try and do a bit of damage limitation, but Solomon gives very sound advice what to do if our words are a trap. If we've fallen into a trap of indiscretion through our words, in a financial way or any other way, Solomon says, seek an immediate way out. Verse 3 says, do this, my son, to free yourself, since you've fallen into your neighbor's hands. Go and humble yourself. Press your plea with your neighbor. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. If you know, for example, that you've spoken out of turn, you've said something, and your words have become a trap, don't just ignore it. Don't just let it lie and hope that it will sort itself out. Hope that it will just disappear. The advice is clear. As soon as you've said something and it's become a trap, go and sort it out immediately. Set yourself free from it, because if you don't, the trap is going to become stronger on you. The snare is going to be holding you more firmly. Do something. Don't rest. Solomon says, don't rest. Don't allow sleep to your eyes. Don't slumber. Don't do anything other than sort it out. He said, you're going to have to deal with your pride here. You're going to have to confront your own pride. You're going to have to go and humble yourself before the person. You're going to have to say, I was wrong there. But that is as nothing compared to the harm that can be done if we do nothing. Do everything it takes to set yourself free. We've probably all seen videos of animals caught in a snare, and they struggle. They struggle to the death, actually, to get out of that snare. Solomon says, that is how you're to act. If your words have trapped you, in fact, the word that he uses here about going and pressing your plea with your neighbor, it's actually a word that suggests violence. Don't give up. Don't take yourself away from that person till the thing is actually sorted out. Because he said you're freeing yourself from your neighbor's hands. That kind of language in the Bible, being in someone's hands, is the same as being under their power. And that's where our words can land us, under somebody else's power. That's why we need to make every effort to free ourselves. None of us want to be in that position of being held hostage to somebody else. That expression used here for humility is very strong, complete submission. It's no time when you're trapped by your words to be high-minded, arrogant, making excuses for yourself, justifying yourself. Solomon says, go low to the ground, humble yourself, admit your fault, get the thing put right. Don't stay in the trap. But then this evening, I think in this sermon, dealing with not rashly taking on anyone else's debt, this sermon wouldn't be complete without thinking about the one who willingly and knowingly chose to take on our debt before God. The debt of our sin, the power that it had over us, the penalty of it that was waiting for us, that was a debt that Jesus knew none of us would ever have the resources to pay. Jesus didn't sit in heaven in eternity past and make a rash decision or an emotionally based decision about coming to earth, taking on the form of a human being, being the glorious savior of the world, being the hero of the hour. Jesus didn't idealize that kind of situation, imagine himself to be this glorious hero who would come into the world amid cheers and welcomes. Jesus Christ knew beforehand what the personal cost would be to him to come to take on our debt. He knew it would cost him everything he had to take our debt. He would have to give up the splendor and the glories of heaven, the worship of the angels, that intimate fellowship with the Father and the Spirit. He would have to come down, not only just take on human form, but completely humbling himself, laying aside the majesty of his glory and take the very form of a servant who was willing to be humiliated, rejected, hated by the very people he had created. And ultimately, he would have to allow himself to be taken before a Jewish and then a Roman court, falsely accused and beaten and mocked and scorned and nailed to the cross. Jesus chose this path, not rashly, not an emotional whim. Jesus chose it knowingly, willingly, to pay our debt, to stand in our place for the judgment for our sin. It was a considered, conscious choice of Jesus Christ, a voluntary submission to the will of the Father on behalf of us who were helpless. And here's the good news for every one of us. In the book of Job, all the suffering of Job, Job says in Job 17:3, "Give me, O God, the pledge you demand. Who else," Job asks, "will put up security for me?" In other words, Job was saying to God, "God, I'm not just high risk, I'm bad risk. God, there is nobody in this world who will take a chance on me. God, I need you to do for me what I wouldn't even do for myself, what nobody will do for me. I need you to cover my debts, God, past, present, future." That is what Jesus did for us on the cross. He didn't just see us as high risk or bad risk. He saw us as we were, filthy sinners, bound and deserving hell, and yet he counted us worth coming and giving his life for, so that he could take our debts on the cross. You know, as Jesus breathed his last on that cross, he breathed out those words, "It is finished." Tetelestai, you've maybe heard that word. It means paid in full. Wonderful. He took the record of our debt, the debt of our sin against God, and written right across the record of our debt is paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful this evening? Hallelujah. You are free if you're a believer. You are clear with God forever. Hallelujah. Oh, that makes me shout and sing, I'll tell you. In ancient times, if you stood guarantor for somebody, the person you were making that pledge to, you would give them your cloak or your staff or something as like a promise, a pledge that they would keep their word. Like if you were taken out a loan for a car or something, and you were, I think it is mainly if you're considered a high risk, you might company say, "Rhonda, you stand as guarantor for my loan." Just tell you, don't bother because I'll not be doing it. Because Proverbs says it's not very wise, even if you are my friend. I would then get something of mine, I'd take it in the olden times, say, I give it to that person who's given the loan, say, "Here, this is the pledge, I will keep my word. If they renege on their debt, if they don't pay it, I will pay the debt." That's the pledge there. Here's the amazing thing about our God. Not only did God give his only son to pay for our debt by his life on the cross, he has stood as guarantor for our eternal salvation by giving to us as believers the Holy Spirit as the pledge or the deposit or the guarantee for what is to come. Isn't that wonderful? 2 Corinthians 1:22, God set his seal of ownership on us. He put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. 2 Corinthians 5:5, "Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." And I'm going to read you a couple more, one more. Ephesians 1, 13-14. "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." So there's a seal on you tonight. There's a deposit within you tonight if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit. We associate pledges, being guarantor, There's an element of risk. That's why you have to do it. Of course, the person isn't able to meet their obligation. Big problem. But God has given to us his Spirit as a pledge, because in God's eyes, there is no risk. There's no risk, folks. Do you know why? You might think, if you knew me, I'm pretty high risk. If you knew where I'm at in my Christian life at this moment, I feel I'm pretty high risk. I'm teetering on the edge here. The Spirit is in you. God put the Holy Spirit within you. There's no risk in God's eyes. Do you know why? Because you're his. You have been bought eternally by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You were not only bought for a few years or for a little while. You have been bought eternally by the blood of Jesus Christ. He began the work in you. You didn't begin it. You had actually very little part in it. He called you. He chose you before creation. He called you at some point. He saved you. He gave you the faith to believe in him. He saved you. He put his Spirit within you. He's done all that work. And one of my favorite verses of Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he, God, who began a good work in you, shall carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Oh, friends, isn't that wonderful? He will carry it on to completion. Oh, you're maybe quavering and say, I'm dithering on the edge here. No, you're not. No, you're not. You might be going through a struggle. The devil might be trying to sift you as wheat. Your great intercessor is praying for you that your faith will not fail. Brothers and sisters are praying for you that your faith will not fail. God started the work. And when God starts something, he always completes it. Hallelujah. He regards us no risk. Why? Because we are completely secure in his hands. His Spirit within our hearts is God's sign to us that what he has done, he will complete. Isn't that encouraging? So although our words can get us into trouble, can lead to a trap, they can lead to a mighty trap. Friends, if you're in that trap, get yourself free tonight. If you need to go and humble yourself before somebody, go and do it. Do it this night. Speak to somebody on the phone when you go home. Get it put right. Free yourself. Then remember that Jesus spoke words. Oh, and they weren't words of a trap. Unlike the devil, whose words are always a trap, Jesus speaks words, and his words bring freedom. His words bring, it is finished, paid in full. And for us who are believers here tonight, may you be encouraged by that. If you have not yet trusted the Lord, tonight he's there for you. He's saying, come. He's saying to you, come. Know where you're going to spend eternity. Know where your future lies. Know that my son died for you to purchase your redemption. I encourage you, if you don't know him, trust him tonight. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, the fact that you paid that debt that we could never pay, we are eternally grateful and thankful. Lord, thank you. Thank you as well for putting your Holy Spirit in our hearts. That sometimes when we doubt ourselves and we get a bit down and we maybe sin, Lord, and we think, oh, am I really saved? Thank you that your Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And I thank you that your Spirit keeps pointing us to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for your incredible grace. Thank you for your willingness to come. Thank you that you didn't write us off as a bad debt, but you said they are worth giving everything for. Thank you, Lord. And I pray tonight, Lord, for any here who have really got themselves into a trap by by something they've said, maybe something out of turn or a commitment they've made. And I pray tonight, Lord, that there would be fruit from your word and that that person or people would set themselves free, enabled by you, Lord, because your word brings change. I pray that, Lord. Give courage and confidence. And Father, I pray for any here who have not yet made that commitment to Jesus. I ask, Lord, speak. Speak right into hearts. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is working here tonight. We sense your presence, Lord. We sense your presence. Lord, your word never, ever returns to you empty. It always accomplishes that purpose for which you sent it. And I pray that it would do so here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And your love
is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.